Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Now this response to God's appeal expresses somewhat of a climax to numerous appeals by the prophet of God to the people of Judah who had departed from the ways of the Lord. That nation, like so many before it and many since then, are representative of man's apostasy and his self-imposed alienation from his Creator. Genesis chapter 3 records the first mutiny and revolt against the Lord. Even as man was expelled from the Garden of Eden, we read of the first indication of God's intent to provide a way of redemption for mankind. Genesis 3 and verse 15 has properly been recognized as referring to the Christ that would come, the seed of woman, that would bruise Satan, he being bruised himself by Satan when he died at Calvary. In Genesis 6, after the flood in the time of Noah that destroyed all living except the eight and the ark, it tells of another of man's apostasies with the erection of what is called the Tower of Babel. That structure, built to get a name for themselves, was to prevent the spread of mankind throughout the world in direct contradiction to the instructions of God. It was something man erected to bring upon himself certain glory. But God frustrated this evil plot with the confusion of their languages that prohibited the completion of their intent. It was another instance where man preferred to govern himself rather than to submit to the Almighty. And after God gave the wonderful promises to Abraham and the coming into reality of that special nation called Israel, we read time and time again how Israel marred its history by its backsliding from God. The prophets of God, sent to the people there, would plead with the priests and the princes and the false prophets and the people, turn to the ways of the Lord, but to no avail. As Hosea wrote in Hosea 11 and verse 7, and my people are bent to backsliding from me. Conditions so deteriorated that God's chosen people were taken into Assyrian and Babylonian captivity. Many efforts were made to produce reforms, but the ones who needed to reform would not have it so. The text says to stand, that is to stop, and to ask, that is to listen, and to see, that is to look, and to walk, that is to go. Stop, look, listen, and then go. Friend, seeing what is right, follow what is right. There are many ways to be wrong, but only one way to be right. And finding that way depends upon seeking for it. The revolts and rebellions of Israel underscore how there is a difference between God and man. God's ways and man's wicked ways are different. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23 warns us, it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Proverbs 14:12 teaches us, that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The prophet Isaiah, in fact all the other prophets, warn and advise that people fall a folly to pursue their own course rather than God's way. And the same sentiment is stressed in Paul's letter to the Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. A perverted gospel is not the gospel at all. One of the more effective ways to pervert the gospel is simply to add to it. One can contaminate a perfectly good loaf of bread by inserting a small portion of poison into it. Pollution of fresh water can be accomplished by adding foul ingredients. Jeremiah accused the false prophets, for ye have perverted the words of the living God. Jeremiah 23:26. And people still do the same thing by teaching their creeds, their feelings, teaching from perverted modern versions of the Bible that teach fatal error, catechisms and disciplines and manuals that men have invented for religious guides. God said in Jeremiah 23:34, I will punish that man and his house, says then and so today. The perversion of the Word of God has figured prominently in the history of man, in the history of the Lord's Church. Church history can be divided into at least five periods, starting from the beginning of it. Actually, more than five periods can be designated if you include the periods when the church existed in the mind of God before it was founded on Pentecost in Jerusalem, when it existed in promise and prophecy and preparation. But the periods of our study will begin with the origin of the church and its perfection. The church, of course, was designed as deity determined. As God created mankind in perfection, so the church began in perfection. The New Testament reveals the church as God planned it to be, exactly as He wanted it, and came at the time that He set for it to come. The church began under the divine guidance of the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the apostles and other inspired men. The way the church was at the beginning is why we turn to that stage of its existence to learn what the church ought to be. The second period of the church is a period of departure. Just as man degenerated and departed from God's way through submitting to the temptations of the devil, so it was with the church. Gradually, slowly, step by step, men began to show their dissatisfaction with the church as God gave it, and they made changes in its government, in its manner of worship, its doctrine, its mission, making accommodations and compromises with the ways of the world, imitating paganism, following human traditionalism, altering almost every facet of the Lord's church into a perverted distortion. The very rule of faith, the Word of God, was set aside, and other authorities were instigated. And this led to a third period, a period of apostasy. The apostles had foretold these very tragic circumstances that would come. In fact, it even began while the apostles were still alive. And as time proceeded, there emerged a dominant religious power that came to be known as the Roman Catholic Church. Friend, this was not the Lord's church, but an apostate church that had come into being as the result of men leaving God's way for their own. And man was subjected to a period of history that historians refer to as the Dark Ages. The fourth period of religious history can be called the period of Reformation. It consists of a series of attempts by many people to reform the existing apostate system from within. It was the effort of people who recognized the gross corruption of religion that was falsely called a Christian, and they took note how far removed from God's plan it really was. Usually, those who made these noble attempts were either suppressed and possibly physically annihilated. Entire groups of people were martyred. Notable names among the leaders of these efforts were Zwingli and Luther and Calvin and Knox and many, many others. But their attempts at reformation were only to produce a different kind of heresy. The dominance and assumed authority of the papacy were replaced by human creeds and disciplines and divisions into denominations. The original ideas and goals were to correct what was in error, and that was proper as far as they were executed. And these reformers tried to get back to the Bible, but they were sidetracked by the doctrines of men that resulted in the clutter of churches called Protestantism. And eventually there came the period of Restoration. Friend, it is fair to say that compared to the periods of apostasy and Reformation, the efforts of Restoration have had little impact, lasting impact, on the religious world generally. Some have even rejected the efforts because they have lacked the bigness for which some religionists clamor. The idea of restoring New Testament Christianity is generally repudiated by those caught up in denominationalism. But it is the effort to go behind denominationalism, back behind Roman apostasy, to go to the Bible with greater success than was accomplished in the Reformation. It was and is the determination to see the Lord's church as he intended it before men led it into apostasy. The movement is based on the thought of 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." Preachers from various religious backgrounds began to preach that men should believe what the first church believed, to do as they did, to practice what they practiced, to be organized as they were organized, to worship like they worshiped, to be as they were, calling themselves by the same name, following the same standard, the Word of God. Such is the labor that faithful children of God are undertaking even in our own time. And we're thankful to be a part of such an effort. It is a continuing process that every generation must be taught everything. There's the story of some who were caught up in the 1849 gold rush of California. One party was making its way westward but lacked water. With great hope, they came upon a stream, but it was brackish and bitter and unfit for drinking. One member of the party wandered upstream and found the stream, or the spring, from which the stream flowed. There he found pure and refreshing water before it became contaminated on its way downstream. He brought his companions to this thirst-quenching spring, and they drank, and they were spared destruction and death. He had found the original source and its goodness as the water existed before the side streams poured in their pollution. Friend, this is an illustration of the scene of religion in the world today. We need to go back to the fountain from which life flows. We must return to the perfect water of life and drink deeply of the Word of God. We cannot rely on the waters that have become soiled by the ways and doctrines of men. When we or any people will do this, we will find the Lord's church as the Lord gave it and revealed it. The intrusions of mankind into those realms reserved only for deity has caused the church to become lost in our world, even though the seed of the kingdom, the Word of God, has never been lost. But the consumption of that which God has revealed to us in the Bible will cause the church to be found for ourselves and for those who will follow after us. And I simply ask, should not such an effort strike a responsive chord in our hearts? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.